Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Remember the old public service announcement, "Do you know where your children are?" Well, if you think they're safe and sound hunkered down in the basement with a laptop computer, you might want to think again. For some of us, the task of parental control on the computer isn't that big of a deal, but some folks, predators, pornographers, and online marketers, have figured out that many among us are clueless. Joining us today to talk about keeping up with and talking with your kids, your grandchildren, your students even, about technology and social networking is Marge Monroe. She is the co-author of Racing to Keep Up, Strategies for Parents to Talk with Their Kids About Technology Use and Ways to Keep the Home Computer Safe. Welcome, Marge.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be here.
And also with us today in just a second is Mary Kay Hole. She's the founder of Your Sphere. It's a safe internet social networking site for kids and teens. Mary Kay will be on with us in just a few minutes. In the meantime, and in about 20 minutes, we'll be talking with State Senator Teresa Fetter about her legislation in the Ohio General Assembly to rein in cyberbullying. We'll be getting to all that today. If you want to follow us online, if you're so inclined, WOSU.org/allsides, and you can go there for more information later about the books and about the websites. Marge, what inspired you to write the book with your co-author, Doug Fodeman?
Yeah, we've been, Doug and I for 13 years have been talking to schools and parents and organizations about this issue, and what we find everywhere is sort of a real need from parents to gather more information about this topic. In a lot of cases, parents are sort of desperate to know whatever they can to keep their kids safe. So this was our attempt to provide a really easy way for parents to kind of go in and just look up ways to provide strategies for their kids in their house.
You started something called Children Online.
Right. It's an organization dedicated to the safety of children and teens online and all forms of technology. And we provide consultation and education to kids, parents, teachers across the country.
Okay. And Mary Kay Hole is on the line now. Mary Kay?
Hi.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Technology with telephones eluded me a few moments ago. Marge, what's changed since 1997 when Children Online was formed?
The world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's remarkable how much has changed. In fact, you know, if you look at, for example, my lifetime, I don't think there's any other thing that we can compare this to in terms of change. You know, we did not have the sort of technology in our hands that kids now have. In a sense, kids walk around with a computer in their hands, with the ability to go online, to text, to play games, to be on Facebook, all as they're walking around the streets. And that's just an amazing thing. At the same time, it presents a lot of risks for kids.
Mary Kay, can you tell us about Your Sphere briefly so people know why you're with us? It's a safe internet social networking site, but, you know, there might be a lot of people listening that don't even know what a social internet or a social networking site is, let alone one for kids.
So social networking sites are, most people have heard of MySpace and Facebook. Those sites are social networking sites. So Your Sphere was created to put the safety and well-being of kids first and foremost. So what that means, you know, on a tangible basis, is that unlike any other site that exists, we at Your Sphere just apply, frankly, a common sense approach. We make sure we know who everyone is before they join the community. We require parental consent. We verify the identity of mom or dad that provides consent. We make sure nobody is a registered sex offender, because unfortunately there's been, you know, hundreds of thousands on MySpace and Facebook, and there was just an announcement yesterday of taking 3,700 New York State registered sex offenders off Facebook and MySpace. So we don't allow registered sex offenders to join the community. We don't allow pornography. We don't allow adult content. And we keep the community content created by kids, created for kids. All of the content is no adult content.
How do you screen for this? Technology being what it is, it's still, the irony of it is that you need human beings often to be screening this, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing is ever 100%. You know, sadly, like the rest of our life, nothing is ever guaranteed 100%. But what we need to do, what I saw wasn't happening in other social networks, is we weren't utilizing all of the resources that are available to put the safety of kids first. So we use both technology and human oversight. And I'll give you an example. Photo recognition technology can identify certain skin tones that will allow us to prompt us to look at a photo and make sure it's not, you know, private parts showing. But we can also, for example, use technology to red flag a photo with a can in it. Now, we want to use human oversight to look at the can and determine that it's a Pepsi can and not a Coors Light can.
And you have somebody, there is somebody on your staff that is paid to do this.
Yeah, we have actually a team of people that are paid to do it. You know, we have one person for every 500 kids versus, like, on a Facebook, they have one person for every 50,000 people that are on the site looking at photos. And so, an example, our policy is, for example, bare breasts are allowed on Facebook as long as the areola is, areola is covered. But we don't allow any breast to be shown on your sphere. It's just not age appropriate. My point of view is if you took the computer away, the things that are happening to kids online and what they're exposed to is either illegal, immoral, or unethical.
If you would like to ask a question of Mary Kay Hull or Marge Monroe, give them a call. They are the experts, 614-292-8513. Do you wonder what your kid is doing on the computer? I bet you do. Give us an email if you know how to use it. allsides@wosu.org. And this is for grandparents, too, or aunts and uncles. Anybody who knows a kid that's on the Internet now can help. Isn't that right, Marge? More the merrier, right?
Absolutely. It takes a village. And I think in this category, it really does. And it's really important that we begin having conversations with kids and educating all of us as much as we can so that we can make a dent in what is a really risky place for kids.
How do strategies differ with age levels? How do you approach it differently as they age?
You know, we really feel that what's been missing in a lot of the technology conversations is a look at the developmental issues for kids, and that's what we're trying to do. And in other words, what is appropriate for a 10-year-old is not appropriate for a 12-year-old, and what's inappropriate for a 12-year-old is not appropriate for a 16-year-old. And that a lot of the guidelines for the kids for Internet use are actually developed by the companies, such as Facebook or MySpace or YouTube, who say that they need to be 13. And that figure 13 is not necessarily what's in the best emotional psychological development for our kids. That age range is what the companies recommend. And so we have a set of recommendations based on what we think is in the best needs of the kids' developmental stages.
You know, I loved the instant messaging translation page and racing to keep up. I went, you know, a lot of O's. That's what that means. Yeah, the acronyms. But the language seems to be changing and expanding all the time.
It is. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I can't, you know, it's just so hard to keep up. And I think most parents have no idea what the language is like. And, you know, beside the acronyms, the concern for us is the really mean-spirited tone that often happens in instant messaging, texting, and some of the adult social networks. And, by the way, I'm really impressed with this social network for kids idea. What a great idea. Love that, because we really don't have enough protected sites for kids.
Do we know how many kids are on the Internet or on social networks now on a regular basis these days?
Well, there's a lot of new research that's coming out. The problem is that the research really starts for kids around age 13, and a lot of it isn't accurate because the kids will lie and say that they're, you know, 15 when they're really 10. So it's very hard to know what the younger kids are doing online. But they're, you know, the highest percentage of, for example, demographic online are young teens and teens. Interesting, the fastest growing demographic on Facebook or MySpace is adults. Mm-hmm. But the teens still make up the large percentage of people online.
Mary Kay, how many members are in your sphere?
We have in the low thousands. We launched in earnest this past January and really have started to, you know, raise our visibility to let parents know there's a solution, you know, to, you know, the concerns that they have. And that's why I'm very excited when I was learning about what Marge does. What I found, so many parents have been looking for a solution, but they haven't felt like they had any of the tools.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, you know, as you said, and I've seen, you know, even in, you know, my house, my husband's great at, you know, sending email, but he had no idea what was going on within social networks until, you know, I set up profiles on 11 different sites to understand what was going on in the community. And his knee-jerk reaction 3 years ago, you know, when my daughter was 12 and wanted to have a MySpace page, was to, you know, he said, let's throw away the computer because, oh, my God, the stuff that's going on with kids is hugely concerning. You know, why are we letting this happen again?
Well, that raises the question, though. I mean, some people have said, I don't let my kid use the computer or they're not allowed to go into the social networking world. Is that wise either?
No, it's not, because that's like saying my kid doesn't go out in public, you know, because what kids will do, which is a huge, problem.
The forbidden fruit problem, yeah.
And I have to say that I was the parent that put my hands in front of my face and said, no, social networking, go away. This is horrific what's going on. Kids will just go to somebody else's house and set up a profile page. That's why it's just so important to use the tools and resources that, you know, Marge offers parents. I include in my blog tips for parents. We have to, as parents, have dialogue with our kids. I mean, even though the internet's been around a long time, social media is in its infancy. And I liken this industry to, you know, what we found out, of course, with things like cars. We found out that if you don't wear a seatbelt, you know, you get in an accident, statistically, you'll die. We've learned that teens need to drive for X number of hours with a parent or not be able to drive after 11 o'clock at night until they have X number of hours of driving. We've learned in other industries that we need to apply to social networking that we have the statistics. We know bad things happen. We need to make changes that put the safety and well-being of kids first, because what's been happening is so statistically concerning that we need to give parents tools and education, and we need to have dialogue in the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, with five kids, my husband and I are always, we've been inundated with information from schools about talking to our kids about, you know, drinking, drugs, mm-hmm. all of the important concerning topics, but we're not inundated with tools on how to talk to our kids about safe internet activity, safe internet behavior. That's so important that parents have that information.
Marge, when we get back from the break, I want to ask you about that issue about limits on ages and whether or not kids should even be on there in the first place. 614-292-8513. We'll get to your calls when we return. And also email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Good morning. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. And at noon, fresh air will be here. President Obama has said he would not send more troops to Afghanistan if he didn't think that the security of the American people was at stake. On Fresh Air today, we'll hear from Peter Bergen, CNN's national security analyst and the author of The Osama Bin Laden I Know, and he'll explain what is left of the Taliban and its connection to al-Qaeda. That's on Fresh Air at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 43 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20. Cloudy skies today, a high in the mid-40s, right around 45. Clear skies tonight and a chilly night, a low of 28. Sunshine for Friday, but still chilly for tomorrow, a high of only 35 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest today, Marge Monroe. She's a clinical social worker. She is also the co-author of Racing to Keep Up, Strategies for Parents to Talk with their Kids About Technology Use and Ways to Keep the Home Computer Safe. And also Mary Kay Hall. She is the founder of Your Sphere. It's a safe internet social networking site that was founded about a year ago. There's in the low thousands now, members in that. It does cost money. Mary Kay, I wanted to get back to that later, but Marge first. Let's talk about limits. Should kids even be on the internet at a certain age?
You know, that's a great question. Certainly, kids should have exposure to the Internet. And I think, you know, this is here to stay, and there's a lot of wonderful aspects of technology. I think the question for parents is, what's appropriate for their child? And that parents need to make decisions that is best for their family and for their own individual child. We do recommend a couple basic things. One is that really until about the age 12 or about sixth grade, kids really should not have an instant messaging account. We feel that before then, kids just aren't ready for the split-second decisions that need to be made on instant messaging. We also feel that 13 is too young for the social networking sites, mm-hmm. and parents ought to consider waiting. Our recommendation is 16, but that's very difficult for mm-hmm. today's teens to wait until 16. So if they, in fact, have an account at a younger age, we recommend that parents have the password to that account and are on that account as much as possible. Mary Kay brought up an interesting point about the fact that if you allow, you know, if you say to your, I'm sorry, but you can't have a social networking account in our family until the age of 15, for example, or 16, will the child create a site outside of their home? Mm-hmm. That may be. We tell parents that's okay because they know the values within their family. And so they're going to make decisions that may go against the family, but they know that they're going against the family. And that message is more important than anything else. So, for example, when I was a kid and I might have been told by my parents, no, you can't go to that party, and I went anyway, I went knowing mm-hmm. that I was disappointing my parents and it was against our family values. I think clear, consistent guidelines from parents really helps kids know where they stand and know what the family's values are.
You know, I think it's interesting when Mary Kay brought up sort of that parallel between using a safety belt, using a seatbelt,
yes.
and using, you know, and how we use the Internet, how we use social networking and that sort of thing, because both of them can be extremely dangerous in the wrong, uninformed hands.
Absolutely, very dangerous. And in fact, there's a lot of, besides just some of the predator issues that I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Go ahead. Well, besides some of the predator issues that are scary, there's a lot of equally serious but much more prevalent issues such as bullying, harassment,
right.
marketing scams, et cetera, that are really hurting kids.
Yeah, I wanted to – that's exactly the issue I wanted to get into, the bullying issue. And joining us on another line is State Senator Teresa Fetter from the Toledo area. Hello, Senator.
Good morning, Ann.
You have some legislation that you've introduced, Senate Bill 126.
Yes, Senate Bill 126.
Tell us about that.
Well, it will amend the Board of Education's harassment statute to incorporate electronic acts, and it will include cyber harassment that takes place outside of the school day as a basis for discipline if it materially or substantially affects the educational environment. And I think that's the key issue. What we've discovered in talking with school officials, and they are overwhelmingly in support of this, is that this is new, uncharted territory for schools. And while this issue is about strong parenting skills, it's also important that schools are properly dealing with the growing issue of cyberbullying. And by the way, cyberbullying also includes sexting, which we have articles cropping up even today, Ann. So this is timely. Schools have the ability to be part of the solution and really helping our parents and partnering with them to deal with this issue.
What do we think of, and, you know, anyone can jump in as long as I can, you know, what are we talking about when we're saying cyberbullying? The sexting thing is where maybe you send a picture, a revealing picture of yourself mm-hmm. to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and they can send it out and it can get out and be used against you. But what besides that, what is cyberbullying?
Well, cyberbullying is really no different than traditional bullying, but cyberbullying is unique in the fact that traditional bullying, you usually have a face-to-face encounter. Cyberbullying is a unique difference, and I think much more alarming in its effect of victims, in that the perpetrators are faceless. And the research that I've done and the research that's just getting done across this nation is that children, number one, think it's funny, and number two, they can get away with it. So children that normally would never bully face-to-face mm-hmm. feel empowered that they can do this. And the whole definition of victim is the power imbalance. This is having a tremendous impact on our academic goals in the schools. Victims of cyberbullying are known to suffer academically, experience more absences, mm-hmm. suffer emotional and physical problems due to their cyberbullying, and the negative effects really do overall have an impact in our children and their education. So we're dealing with administrators being able to, by law, discipline children outside the classroom because it's coming right into the school building, and many schools, 18 states have already dealt with this issue.
Isn't it, as far as the cyberbullying goes, Marge and Mary Kate, you know, jump in, but isn't another issue that there's kids, there's perpetrators that would ordinarily never do something like this face-to-face, but isn't it also true there's parents that let it happen that just don't get it? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the major problems of cyberbullying is that the viral nature of the internet leads to kids being bullied on a much larger scale. So a 10-year-old who's bullied by a couple of 12-year-olds, for example, that can be sent to thousands of kids, even within one school, hundreds of kids within a school. And so the potential for real harm and damage is very real with cyberbullying. And I think a lot of parents may not necessarily think about the viral nature of that. And also, just as kids sort of see the anonymity of the internet, and as that was so eloquently said, mm-hmm. That they sort of disappear behind a screen and don't feel the consequences, parents sometimes don't see the real serious consequences because of the, you know, safety of being in a bedroom.
You know, I was looking online for Your Sphere for Parents, and the U.S. News and World Report did the poll, and it indicates that 70% of 12 to 17-year-olds are bullied online, mm-hmm. and only 10% tell their parents. Parents don't know. Children don't know how to handle these situations. And we've had some severe cases in Ohio where children have taken their lives. And it's just, we need to be on top of this. I mean, first of all, children think that we're not paying attention, they can get away with it. We need to send a message in Ohio that we are aware and we are going to take care of our responsibility in this culture to set the standards and educate everyone and send the right message to our children, because our children then after 18 become adults. And I'm worried about that type of culture shift in human behavior. So I'm an early childhood major and taught 18 years in the classroom, and I had to deal with traditional bullying, and that was hard enough in trying to educate our students. But now we have another layer of bullying, cyberbullying, that teachers aren't even aware of why children cannot learn. We have to have their full attention in that classroom.
Mary Kay, did you want to say something?
Well, I just wanted to mention that you asked an earlier question, how does Your Sphere put safety first? And mm-hmm. a key thing that we do right off the bat before anybody is a member of the community is we get rid of anonymity. Every person has an identity, and every person is accountable. And so unlike a Facebook or a MySpace or any other social networking site, you can't come into the community and harass somebody else and do it anonymously and then jump off and set up another page, because it's so important to teach, and we're all, I think, agreeing and saying the same thing. Help teach kids, you know, the internet, social networking is part of, you know, 21st education. We need to talk to kids and teach them that they need to behave online as if they would when there's not a computer in front of them. And one of the ways that you do that is you eliminate anonymity and you hold members accountable and you educate. So if we can, you know, I'll be so grateful if we can do anything to stem the continuation of bullying, mm-hmm. then, you know, that'll be a great place to be. That, you know, the challenge I know for educators is, as already mentioned, being aware of it and actually being able to make a difference when there's an incident. I know in California has passed a law that if there's any bullying, the school can get involved, but other states, schools can't become involved. So it's so important that education happens across the United States, and that, you know, schools can become involved. I have, you know, advised a mom whose daughter was severely bullied in her classroom, and the school couldn't do anything. So I advised taking screenshots of the bullying, bringing it into the counseling department so that the counselors were aware, and letting law enforcement know because it was starting to escalate.
Senator Feder, what is the difference? I mean, how are you making this so that the school districts can get involved in something that occurs outside? What are the legal maneuverings there?
Well, the law is behind that type of discipline. Actually, administrators would benefit from this legislation because it protects schools from liability. Schools that don't have a policy in place, schools that are not exercising their full access to the law and working in partnership with the community and the parents, are really letting our children down. And by having good policies and practices in place to prevent cyber harassment, schools are better able to prove that they are not deliberately indifferent to the subject of harassment, and that deliberative indifference is the standard applied by all the courts in this nation to hold schools responsible for harassment of students. So every state should be doing this immediately right now. And schools are open for liability cases because we need to be aware of this cultural shift and concern for our children in America. They're most vulnerable. The socio-emotional levels and development are not there. I heard it put so well on one of the morning shows. It's like having your children being on the internet is like giving the four-year-olds the keys to your car.
There's that automobile parallel again.
and it's so important that we take this seriously as a nation and everyone work together to get this done, because quite frankly, it can be done. And our children are expecting us to get it.
So
they,
only
they
18 states,
because
though.
They don't, because they think they can get away with it. So we need to send a message, just like we would in disciplining and in any other part of parenting, that you can't get away with this. And we have netiquette, like we would have etiquette. We should have netiquette. Our children want us to teach them how this world works, and it's our fault if we don't.
The etiquette's a very interesting issue. We're at a church thing for the teens last night, and the speaker had to make sure that she said beforehand, okay, no texting. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine sitting there and texting someone while an adult, you know, if I were that age, the thought of doing that is impossible. But the kids, they have a completely different take on this, don't they, Mary Kay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mary Kay. I was directing that at Marge.
Okay.
I apologize. Marge, what about the etiquette?
Yeah, you know, kids have a very different idea. But you know what? I have to say that a meeting today with adults might actually
yes.
find a lot of adults texting in the room. The ability to text and keep it hidden in your hand is sort of becoming common. And I think, you know, the idea of creating common sense etiquette, if you want to call it that, netiquette rules is really important. And kids are not going to follow this on their own. You know, we really need to do it for them. And so I'm so grateful for any legislation that we begin to do, because the kids can't do it on their own. It's really up to us as the adults and the educators and the caregivers to really provide some real limits for our kids.
Senator, I know you're going to take off in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. What are we modeling? What have you modeled the legislation after, if anything? And I guess 18 states, that doesn't seem like a lot. Mm-hmm. And Ohio's, you know, sometimes takes a while to get legislation enacted. What are your sense about how fast this legislation will move?
Well, what I did is I reviewed all the other states' laws and put together what I thought would be a comprehensive, good place to start for Ohio. So, you know, we had recommendations from the National Center of Parents, who did a wonderful report. They did a survey with parents, number one, and they found out that parents were most concerned about cyberbullying because they had no idea. You know, they started their trek on technology as an adult. Our children are growing up with it in their hands. So that was their number one concern, and they started doing a report on this and then made recommendations for Ohio and reviewed the other 18 states' laws as well. We've had three hearings. I believe we're going to be able to move this out. The education groups and organizations are in full support, especially the administrators and the counselors. The administrators are relieved that we can put some commonality process in place and that the laws behind them, and they do realize that they are vulnerable for liability issues. So this is absolutely imperative that we get this done. I think it's a moral imperative that we get this done, and whatever help we can get from the public would be wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Fetter, for joining us today. I appreciate the insights. If you have a question or a comment and would like to get some information, get some tips, get some advice from Marge Monroe, co-author of Racing to Keep Up, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And also, Mary Kay Hole is with us. She is the creator of YourSphere.com. It is an age-appropriate, safe social networking site. Started about a year ago, and it's growing every day. And we'll take a break while you decide your questions. 614-292-8513. All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
President Obama has said he wouldn't send more troops to Afghanistan if he didn't think that the security of the American people was at stake. On the next Fresh Air, we look at what's left of al-Qaeda and how al-Qaeda is now connected with the Taliban. We talk with Peter Bergen, CNN's national security analyst and the author of The Osama Bin Laden I Know. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Kick off your holiday season this Friday with a day of the best music of the season on WOSU 89.7 FM. Tune in from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. for holiday favorites like the Nutcracker Suite and Vivaldi's Winter from Four Seasons and much more. Get into the holiday spirit beginning tomorrow on WOSU. And for a complete list of all of our holiday specials, go to WOSU.org/holiday. 43 degrees in downtown Columbus, cloudy skies and a high of 45 today. Skies clear tonight and chilly with a low of 28. Some sunshine for Friday and a high of 35.
Support for the State House News Bureau stories on WOSU comes from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher education faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at OHEA.org.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guests, Marge Monroe, she's the co-author of Racing to Keep Up, Strategies for Parents to Talk with Their Kids About Technology Use and Ways to Keep the Home Computer Safe. And also Mary Kay Hall, she's founder of YourSphere. It's a safe internet social networking site for kids and teens. We're talking about social networking and what kids have access to and who has access to them on the internet. If you have a question or a comment, 614-292-8513. Do you have some advice of your own to share? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mary Kay, can you tell us a little bit more about YourSphere? What does it cost? How do you get onto something like that?
YourSphere has no advertising. The way sites are making money is by having advertising on the site, of course, often age inappropriate, number one, and number two, utilizing applications that exploit the privacy of members. YourSphere has no advertising, and we don't have applications that exploit privacy issues of children. Therefore, in order to afford the safeguards that we have in place, identity verification, predator check, and the technology and human oversight, we charge a dime a day with an annual membership. Anybody can join YourSphere in the first month. They can give it a try, you know, for free. And then after that, it's a dime a day membership fee. And one of the things that I wanted to point out, I know we've talked about cyberbullying and how important it is educating parents and parents having tools to talk to their kids. What's hovering beneath the surface of these social networking sites that, in my humble opinion, is much more pervasive and concerning is the culture. I've revealed in a series of blogs, if you go to yoursphere.com and click on Mary Kay's blog, there are social networking sites that monetize themselves and I point this out and share screenshots, with applications such as one called Owned, where the site, a social networking site, boasts of buying and selling people. Now, it's not literally selling, it's virtually buying people. Mm-hmm. So there's a culture, and I share an example, where a senior in high school is bought by a man in his 40s or 50s. Doesn't matter the age. What matters is that, one, it's happening, and number two, what message is this sending our children about the value of human life and who they are? Why is it okay that a company is making money and, you know, being written about how they're increasing their profits when they're using virtual currency, people sliding through, you know, giving their credit card number and buying lunch money to then go out and buy people? And, of course, unfortunately, girls in the community are in a position then, you know, the more that they're bought for, the more sexually explicit their photos become.
Aha. Uh-huh. So concern. That's what's involved.
Yes. Yes. So you can go into the site and see, you know, and unfortunately I, you know, shared the proof of what's going on in these communities that, you know, girls, you know, want to be bought for more. They have status, they gain status in the community based on how many thousands of lunch dollars they've been bought for. And it promotes a culture, of course, sexualizing them, number one. But at the foundation base level, again, what does this tell our kids about the value of human life?
Marge, you know, there's a lot of virtual sites for kids that seem pretty benign, especially compared to Owned. But they do have them buying ridiculous things for things that beings that don't even exist.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we have to do for adults and kids is really, as a nation, become more media literate or media savvy, so that we really can begin to look and be critical consumers about sites online. For example, what are the advertising? Are they really advertising what they say they are? Are they legitimate? What news sources can you trust online? And as you're looking at social networking sites, what is considered unscrupulous or unethical, et cetera, and what isn't, and how do we help our kids stay safe? And understanding that the whole concept of social networking sites with the buddies, you know, friends become a currency. So the kids want more and more friends, and they make their sites more and more provocative to get those friends. And so how do we help our kids stay safe with that?
I don't know if it was in your book, but I was reading recently someone walked in on her daughter and a friend, and they were sitting with the laptop on their, you know, she had a sleepover, and they're sitting there, and apparently they had just been Skyping with somebody that they had met through a social networking site.
Yes.
I mean, this stuff can happen instantaneously now.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the risk of, you know, the Internet. You don't know who you're communicating with, and everything's instant. And you always have a friend. So if your friends that you know physically in real life are not available, well, then you just can find another virtual friend who you don't know, and then go into a private chat room or actually talk to them on video chat.
We've talked about the cyberbullying, the sexting. What are the other great threats? The predators? I suppose the Owned is probably a great predator site.
Go ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead, Mary Kay, if you want to.
No, well, it's the people, the content, and the culture. That's what parents in social networking sites can't protect their kids from. Parents just honestly don't. I believe a lot of parents are like me. You know, 3 years ago, I had no idea. I had no idea what was going on. I know many, many parents are on Facebook, and parents use it as oftentimes an email tool to connect with, of course, their friends, or, you know, things like high school reunions. But they don't immerse themselves into the deeper layers of the community. Parents aren't able to go to an electronic store and buy software to put on the computer to filter the social networking sites. You know, I encourage parents that have a Facebook page, as my son is a freshman in college, went to the search bar in Facebook and he said, Mom, look, go type in XYZ, and you can see porn on Facebook. You can't, unfortunately, buy software to protect your kids from the culture or the content or the people. Those are, in my opinion, the three things that parents absolutely need to understand, you know, the dangers that exist for their kids.
So is it then what do they resort to? They have to be monitoring it, right, Marge?
Yeah. I think parents need to not only be monitoring, but they need to have software in place on their computer to help them monitor their kids, and they need to have continual conversations around issues around sexuality and what's happening and ethics online, so the kids understand it better.
So you can get software that limits how much time they spend on the computer. You can get software that limits what sites they see.
Absolutely. What sites they see, how much time they're on, friends that they have that they want to block. There is just some great parental software out there, and parents really need to take advantage of it. Our website, childrenonline.org, we have a resource link with all sorts of resources for parents on which parental control software is recommended.
You know, we love our laptop in our house, but some folks don't buy them because they are so portable. What is your feeling about that, Mary Kay?
Well, a realistic approach. I know in my household, for example, with five kids and homework, it's not always realistic to have the computer right there in the family room. So we have our computer in, our den. At some point, a parent has to make a decision about whether or not they're going to allow their kids access to a social networking site, the internet, a laptop, mm-hmm. a desktop. So, you know, what we did in our house is we have a contract that the kids had to sign. You know, my older kids, my younger kids that are 10, 9, and 5, that they have very, very, very supervised access, and we have all of the software on the computer that they use, and it's very limited. But with my older kids, they signed a contract, and I have to give them the opportunity to fulfill abiding by the contract, but as a backup, I check just like
okay.
The rest of their life I check where they go. I'm a part of what they're doing, so
okay.
So laptop or desktop, I don't think that's necessarily a laptop isn't a tool that's any worse than a desktop. It's the choices that we're helping our kids to make.
Okay. And Marge, what are some red flags that we should be looking for?
In terms of the kids' use?
Yes.
Yeah. I think parents really need to be aware of how much time their kids are spending online. One of the things Mary Kay just said about the computer in a public space, if you have a laptop, do not allow internet access in their bedroom. If they take the laptop into the bedroom, don't have it wired into a network. Some of the red flags are spending too much time online, beginning to distance themselves from their physical friends, and spending more time online. This is a real issue for the younger teens, 11, 12, 13, 14, when they begin to spend more time online and less time socializing in person with friends. Grades that are falling, less attention to family, less attention to some of the things that they previously liked. By the way, these are all risk issues for other issues,
sure,
such as depression, things like that. But parents really need to be aware of that in terms of the internet and watching to see what their kids are doing.
If you're just tuning in, and we have a few more minutes with Marge Monroe, she is the co-author of Racing to Keep Up, Strategies for Parents to Talk with Their Kids About Technology Use and Ways to Keep the Home Computer Safe. And also Mary Kay Hole, she is the creator of YourSphere.com. That's YourSphere.com. Questions, comments, they're the people to talk to, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. When we talk about snooping on our kids and that kind of thing, is that the sort of thing you should have an open conversation with your child about? And when should you start having those conversations with them? Should they know that you're doing it?
Absolutely. I think that those conversations start as young as you can. For example,
okay.
I have a 7-year-old child, and my computer already has parental control software on it, and I have already told him that, when he's online, I am with him right now. He's on my lap. And so the conversations are beginning now with him. When he's about 10, I will allow him to have a email account that I have the password to, but that he's allowed to send and receive emails as long as I read them. Now, I may read them first, and then they're sent out. When he's 12, he may send them first, but I still have access to read them. So the kids grow up with the sense of the adults in their lives being part of their online world, so that when they're 14, we're not snooping as much as we're parenting and being part of their world. It's much more challenging. You know, I'm lucky I have a 7-year-old, so I can start young with him. It's much more challenging if my son were 14, and I'd have to sort of backtrack with him. However, I recommend to parents that if they have a 14-year-old and they really haven't been part of their online world, they sit down with their 14-year-old and say, you know what? I just didn't know a lot about this topic, and now I do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit down and negotiate some ground rules for your online life because I'm worried. I trust you, but I'm worried about what's out there. So here's what we're going to do. And the first thing you want to do is have access to all of their accounts through a password. And if they say to you, no, that's my private business, you can't have my password, then I think it's important for you to say to your child, then in our family, in our home, you cannot have access to those sites because I'm your parent. I love you. My job to keep you safe, and I'm not going to allow you to have access to those sites. Now, the argument we get from parents all the time is, well, they're going to go next door. They're going to go to the library. That's okay because you've created boundaries in your own home, and you need to be firm with those boundaries in your own home and trust that they make good decisions elsewhere. So keeping those conversations going at a young age, and don't ever be afraid to snoop if you think your kids are in trouble, just as I would recommend to a family who might be experiencing some very serious issues with alcohol and drugs. It's okay to look through lockers or look through bedrooms if you're worried about your kids' safety. It's okay to snoop in the computer if you're worried about your kids' safety.
Some people feel different about the computer, though, don't they? I mean, I'm sure you've
they
come
do.
Across that, that it's this
they
is
do.
My private place. This is like
yeah.
invading my thoughts.
Right, but the parent, you know, we really, as parents, need to not buy into that because it is not private. In fact, it's much more public than the kids understand. It's like they've painted a billboard on the highway, although a lot more users will see it than the billboards on the highways. And so, really, this is not private. And because it's so public, the parents need to have access. You know, I often say to parents, would you say to your 12-year-old, I'm never going in your bedroom again, ever. Ever, ever. That's your space. Whatever you want to bring in there is up to you, but I'm never going in. Of course not. Of course not. Because we know that our kids couldn't manage it. You know, some could, but most could not. Really, the risk is so exponentially greater for the Internet. So parents need to think in terms of that.
Well,
just put common sense to the Internet.
You just reminded me of the story out of Detroit. I don't know if you saw it the other day. The 13-year-old who had her 19-year-old Facebook friend in the closet for 2 days. Mom finally found him. Had no idea. So that
right.
was a kind of a literally and a figuratively. She was completely oblivious to what was going on in her 13-year-old's life.
Yeah, and you know, parents don't need to feel bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard often to know what's going on in our teens' lives because they, you know, by nature want to hide it. But we as parents need to you know sort of metaphorically knock on their door as much as we can and talk about what's going on in their world.
It's sort of this whole new burden.
It's, you know what, I say all the time, it is so much harder to parent today. It really is tough. It is a burden, and parents, I wish I could take this away, but it's hard work. You know, a lot of us work really long hours, and we're exhausted, and we come home, and our you know, 7-year-old wants to go on Club Penguin. It's very hard to say, okay, you can't, because then you've got to sit down and entertain your child, and it makes life harder. Really does. But we need to fight the fight to take care of our kids.
You know, Club Penguin was one of those virtual sites that I was talking about earlier. Can you explain Club Penguin and what it does?
Club Penguin is really a social networking site for young children.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun. It has a lot of games, very colorful graphics. The penguins sort of become an avatar for the kids, and they go in and play in the form of a penguin, and then they meet other friends online, little penguins walking around playing games, and they're able to chat. So it is, in fact, a social networking site. My worry about Club Penguin and Webkinz is that those kids at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 who are on Club Penguin playing and chatting get very bored very quickly with the easy, safe chat and want to move to the adult social networking sites of YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, et cetera. So that's why, for the first time in our research, we're seeing kids as young as 10 and 11 on Facebook and MySpace, which is just far too young for those kids.
They also can buy things on Club Penguin. I don't know if it's same case for Webkinz.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's all about marketing, sort of commercialism, capitalism, buying and selling. Actually, you know, I really recommend that all parents go on Webkinz and Club Penguins to see, so that they can see for themselves what the culture is like and what it is. Because I'm guessing that a lot of parents would actually disagree with some of what is the basic premise of the sites. My recommendation for parents is, if you allow your kids on Club Penguin, do not allow them to chat. Turn off the chatting features and just let them play it as a game.
There's a lot more tips like that in Racing to Keep Up. It is was co-written by Marge Monroe, a clinical social worker, and also Mary Kay Hole. She's the creator of YourSphere.com, YourSphere.com. Again, Mary Kay, you have a blog, and you talk about all kinds of things that parents ought to know about. It's not just about the social network site.
No, my blog is there to help provide another resource for parents to understand what's going on, because as Marge, you know, mentioned earlier, parents are busy, they have a lot to keep up with, and it's an overwhelming, you know, all of the parents that I've spoken to, they're absolutely overwhelmed with, you know, the thought of keeping up with technology. So they almost throw up their hands and say, you know, I just can't do it. But, you know, as we've all talked about today, parents have to parent, and they have to be involved in their kids' online activities. So therefore, part of what I'd like to be able to help do with my blog is provide an easy resource for parents to access to stay up to date with what is going on within the online world, whether it's social networking or whether it's, frankly, you know, gaming systems. It's another way that people have access to our kids, whether it's Xbox Live or you know, the other game, the other game systems that our kids have access to and utilize. Parents just don't understand. So I want to give them tools to help learn how to turn off the switch so that a stranger can't interact with them, if that's a choice that they make for their kids.
Okay, that's Mary Kay Hole. She's the creator of YourSphere.com, YourSphere.com. You can go to that for more information. We'll have it, of course, on WOSU.org/allsides. And for more information about Marge Monroe and her book, Racing to Keep Up, go to childrenonline.org. Marge and Mary Kay, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And I hope you'll come back again, because, like, as we said before, it keeps changing.
It sure does.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for the Statehouse News Bureau stories on WOSU comes from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher education faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at OHEA.org.